so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I got over here about 5:10 this morning to the office and put on some music and began to worship the Lord. And this was one of the songs that was playing. And man, I just kind of got lost in the presence of the Lord, because I realized that I'm not enough. That without God, I can't do it. Man, I need Him. I got to have Him. Not only to do this, not only to do this pastoring thing, but I need Him to live. I've often said, I don't know what people do without Jesus. Does Jesus make your life perfect? Absolutely not. Why? Because you still live around dumb people. And sometimes you're the dumb person. Just keep your eyes straight up here. Don't look around. Don't look at nobody. But the difference is, man, is I'm never alone. He's always in the middle of it. Go with me in your Bibles to the book of Galatians chapter 3. Thank you, musicians. Galatians chapter 3. I'm reading from, I believe, from the English Standard Version is the one I'm reading from, I think. The Bible says this, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. So that in Christ, here's what he's saying. Through Christ, we are receiving the blessing of Abraham. Now, as you're beginning to rethink about your life and your health and your habits, let me help you. I want to help you with this. But Jesus, or Paul was writing, as we are in Christ, the blessing that was on Abraham may come to us. I'm going to say that again. That blessing that was on Abraham might come to us, the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. So during these times, let me pray over you. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. And Lord, as we begin to rethink and evaluate where we are in life, in marriage, in ministry, in child rearing, I pray, God, that you would help us to rethink our priorities. And God, I pray for an anointing and a conviction that will cause change in our life in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Amen. So everybody starts re-looking at their priorities around the New Year's. You know, everybody makes New Year's resolutions. I really don't make New Year's resolutions. I make some New Year goals, but I don't make resolutions. But the great and wonderful, as a believer, to begin to rethink your place in God. I want you to rethink your place in God, because you're not a second-class citizen. You're a child of the King of Kings. I want you to hear me. You're not a second-class citizen. Well, God, Pastor, it seemed like so-and-so is the favored child of God. Well, ask this question. Sometimes people seem like they're more favored than others because of their behavior and obedience to the parent. Oh, yeah, I don't want to talk about that, do you? See, well, you know, I have two daughters, and sometimes they would look at each other and say, well, what about so-and-so? And I would respond, well, are you doing what I've asked you to do? See, it's not favoritism. It is, if you do this, then I will do that. And God is saying, if you will respond and behave and think like this, this is your reward. See, the problem with most believers is not their theology. Most believers have a decent account of theology. The problem with most of us is our thinking. And we get that mixed up and messed up as we go through life and stuff happens. The reason is you know yourself better than anybody else, and that's part of the problem. Is I know me, I understand how God could bless you. I understand how God could bless Bobby. I understand how God could bless Rodney, but I know me. I understand how God could bless Papa. Well, God knows me. God knows me, and I know me. And I know me better than anybody else. I'm just kidding about Popeye. You know the areas in your life where you struggle. You know in your heart you want to do right, but you don't, right? There's nobody who wakes up and goes, you know, today I believe I think I'll become an alcoholic. There's nobody who wakes up and goes, you know, I've been faithful to my spouse, but I think I want to try this adultery thing. No. Your thinking begins to shift somewhere. And if you don't keep right thinking, then you won't behave right. Right thinking produces right behavior. I'm going to say that again. Right thinking produces. Yeah, there it is. Right thinking produces right behavior. You see, you know in your heart that you want to do right and think right, but time rocks on and you find yourself another year older, but not another year wiser. But we want to be wiser, right? I don't want to just be an old fool. I want to be wiser as I grow. So today we are going to start with your thinking. And here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, that for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, Proverbs 23:7, so is he. If we can get our thinking right, then our place in God and with God will become clearer as we begin to think right. Let me give you another one here. Right thinking produces right focus. Right thinking produces. Have you ever met people and you think, what planet are you on? Have you ever met somebody and go, are you living among the living? What rock did you crawl out from under? Because that is so stupid. I sometimes just wonder, you know, you ever went home? We're not taping right now, right? You ever go home and you're thinking, I do not belong here. These are not my family. I was adopted. Surely to God I was adopted. But we fail because of broken focus. Every failure is because of broken focus. When we see our place in God, then it's easier to believe God. Point number one. I don't know if I... Do I have this on YouVersion? No? Bad pastor. I'll have it on there. I'll try to put it on there before. Point number one is this. The child of God is blessed. Well, I don't feel very blessed because your thinking ain't right. Because when I say you're blessed, most of us think about fat bank accounts. But the problem is most of us are just fat, but our bank accounts ain't. Right? But listen, think about some people who have fat bank accounts and they're crazier than a sprayed roach. Isn't that the truth? I mean, who wants to be, you know, well, I wish I had the money of some of them movie stars. They're all crazy. They're crazy. The word blessing or blessed to many people has too often meant things or events. I'm blessed because of this. I'm blessed because I have this. I'm blessed because I get to attend or I get to have this. But blessing has nothing to do with things and events. Those are the effects of the blessing, but that is not the blessing. It was whatever item or good that transpired in our life, it was material gain or is material gain and tangible substance when we think that we're blessed. But God's blessing on your life is not the good things is not the good things he has given you, but it is the good things that he does to for you and for you. That is the blessing. I am blessed. I don't care if I live under a tree. I am blessed because Jesus died for my sins. His blood has been applied to my life, and I am blessed. The blessing of God is not what you have. The blessing of God is who has you. Who has you? Jesus has me. See, the blessing of God. A good illustration to help us understand this is that there's a difference between the blessing and the blessing.
Wait, Pastor. What do you mean?
No, hear me out. When you walk outside, you see stuff flying around. Trees waving back and forth. And you might say, the wind is strong today. But that's not the wind. That's not the wind. Yes, the wind is blowing strong, but what you really see is the effects of the wind. It's not the wind. And sometimes we think that the blessing of God on us is because we can't see the effects of the blessing. But the blessing can still be there without the effects of what everybody else sees are blessed. You know, we've seen people. I'll never forget when the first time I went to Jamaica on a missions trip. Jamaica, yeah, go there through the interior. And there's a place called Shack City. And as far as the eyes can see, it's just stuff put together on a trash dump. And kids are out there playing and having fun and laughing, and they don't even know they're living in squalor conditions. They don't even realize they're living in a place that no, you and I would be bawling our eyes out if we had to live in. That's the difference of the blessing. They're blessed and they don't have stuff, but they are enjoying who has them. See, the wind is like the blessing, and the effects of the wind that you are seeing is like the blessings, right? You look at your neighbor and say, you're blessed whether you realize it or not. Here comes point number two. Blessings from being blessed. Blessings from being blessed. Because of Jesus Christ and what he did, the blessing of Abraham has been passed to you and I, the believer. Wait a minute. You mean I have the blessing, the same blessing that Abraham? Can I tell you have the same blessing I have? Because you're saved. Matter of fact, if I can just say to anoint means to mark. It means to smear. And you've been anointed, you've been marked by the Holy Spirit. You've been marked by the blood of Jesus. Well, I don't feel very blessed because your thinking ain't right. See, blessed doesn't matter what I have. It has to do with who has me. Go with me to Genesis. I want you to turn there. Genesis chapter, chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, or 1 through 4. And I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Bible. I want you to go there because there's some things I want you to underline. See, I appreciate electronic Bibles and things like that, but you need to have the ability to underline some things.
Amen.
Here's what the Bible says. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house. That doesn't sound like very blessed. But let me tell you something. He's saying, I've got to get you away from the familiar so I can do something that is unfamiliar to you. I've got to get you away from the crowd that wants to keep you the same way you were when they came into your life so that I can do something with you. He says, I want you to go to a land which I will show you. Verse 2, and I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. I want you to underline, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so shall you be. Did you catch that? I'm going to take you somewhere and I'm going to bless you and make your name great, but I'm not going to do that just for you. I want to do that so you shall be a blessing.
Right.
See, most people just want the effects of the blessing so that you can enjoy them. But God was saying to Abraham, I'm going to bless you so you can be a blessing. In verse 3, and I will bless those who bless you. You need to underline that. See, now I'm going to go some places where some preachers won't go. And I will bless you, or I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curse you, I will curse. The people who bless the blessed, I'm going to bless. And the people who try to curse the blessed, I'm going to curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Underline that. And Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. See, when God spoke these words to Abraham, God was actually placing a blessing on Abraham. And with that blessing came many blessings. With that blessing become many blessings. Now, point number 3 is this. Let's talk about blessed with fog. It's like, well, Pastor, I wake up in the fog every day. No, I'm not talking about that. When I say blessed with fog, is blessed with the favor of God. See, God promised Abraham his favor. He said, my favor will be on you, and I'm going to make you a great nation. And I love that. I ain't got time to preach this part, but, you know, God changed Abraham's name. It was Abram. He changed it from Abram to Abraham. And Abraham means father of many nations. And so every time he would introduce himself, he would speak and get his thinking right. Hey, how are you? I'm the father of many nations. How are you? Now, listen. We live in this society, and people would get really upset if you would come in and say, hey, I'm blessed by the Father. He's like, okay. I mean, I've met people like that, you know, and they're like, weird me out a little bit. You know, you meet people, hey, I'm too blessed to be stressed. It's like, well, I ain't there yet because I'm still a little stressed. Matter of fact, you stressing me out a little bit more. But the favor of God, he said, he began to introduce himself as the father of many nations. In other words, he would cause him to increase. Proverbs 10:22. When the Lord blesses you with riches, now we're talking about the blessings, you have nothing to regret. Contemporary English Version Bible. Where the presence of God is, hear me closely, where the presence of God is, the favor of God flows. Have you ever seen just people, man, they could fall into a bucket of manures and come up smelling like roses? Sometimes that's the favor of God. See, to be blessed means to have God's favor. Supernatural protection and promises at work in your life. I've come by to tell y'all I'm blessed. But people get nervous when folks say, oh, I'm blessed. Oh, no, I'm not trying to take credit for it. I know why I'm blessed. I'm blessed because his hand's on my life. I'm blessed because his blood's over my sin. I'm blessed because his seal is on my forehead. I'm blessed because I'm the righteousness of God. Does that mean that I have everything that I want? No. But God has blessed me. Favor will always bring persecution. People want you just to be average. I want you to hear that. They just want you to be average. As long as you're average, you're not making them look bad. Or, matter of fact, most people don't want you just average. They want you just a little bit below them. Come on now. But favor will always bring persecution because the world don't understand the favor of God. Well, how'd you get there? How did you get there? What'd you do? Who'd you brown nose to get in that situation? Come on, let's just be real, right? Is that all right? Anybody offended? If you are, that probably means you're religious. I'm talking about real world. I'm talking about real world here. Well, how'd you get that position? I don't even know. How many's ever got into a position that you don't even know how you got into? Hallelujah. You know, listen, I'm going to brag on my secretary real quickly, because both of my secretaries we hired out of the church, our bookkeeper and our secretary. When we had an opening, I began to pray, and the last one, because she's been, how long have you been with us now, Di? 6.5 years. Feels like it's been 12. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. So 6.5 years ago, the Lord just kind of illuminated her to me as our, because we were looking for a, our bookkeeper was retiring. Becky was going from secretary to the bookkeeper. And so we were looking for a secretary, and the Lord just illuminated me. And I went to her and I said, hey, we have this position open. Would you be interested? And she immediately said, oh, no. And I went, oh, man, I miss God. She got out in the car, and her son Ryan and her husband said, what's wrong with you? You've been looking for a different job. Well, I can't do those things, but you can learn those things, right? And so we hired her, and she barely knew how to turn a computer on. And I went, oh, God, what did you do? That's for real. That's real talk. She'll tell you. And I said, Lord, what did you do? But now 6.5 years later, I know that she's the right person for the job, because she is doing an incredible job and has done it for many years. And so we thank God for her. And thank God for Becky also. I can tell you a story about Becky. But what I'm saying is that favor will always bring persecution. And some people are like, well, why didn't she get the job? Because you like her better. No, because it's the word of God. You understand what I'm saying? And God will always give you positions sometimes and in areas that you're not qualified for because of the favor of God. I've been places that people ask me, how'd you get here? And I go, I have no idea. I'm just happy to be here. But can I tell you, when you know that it was the hand of God that got you there, it's hard to get uppity and it's hard to get snobby when you know it was only the hand of God, because you know that you're nothing. And Lord, if you don't come right here in the middle, I can't make it. The world don't understand the favor of God, and quit expecting understanding from the unenlightened. Never expect understanding from the unenlightened. Sometimes you talk to people, you try to have to dumb it down a little bit because they don't get it. See, the devil will attack you where the Lord has blessed you. In the area where you're blessed, if you're not careful, the devil will attack you. Usually it's not always in your weaknesses. It'll attack you where you have been blessed. Because the Bible says, Psalms 5:12, for thou, O Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Can I tell you that favor is better than money? Because some money can't buy you access to some places. Favor will always get you access. It gives you access to people who would otherwise you would be rejected by. I ain't going to be able to share this in the next service. But there was something that happened in the state or Florida. And I called the general overseer of the Church of God. I didn't think he knew who I was. But I called him and told him something and said something needed to change. And the next thing I know, it changed. And I went, come on, you know what I'm talking about? Kind of square your chest back like, hey, look at me. I can't believe he knew my name. Not only did he know my name, he knew my phone number. Come on. Yeah. I was like, well, he had to say, but anyway. But I'm just saying, you get to places that the favor of God got me there, not money. Because can I tell you this? Money is money, but favor is whatever you need. So, you know, you can have money if you want to, but money can't buy favor. Money can't buy favor. When God gives you favor, don't let anybody talk you out of that favor. And quit falling out with everybody. Sometimes we don't have favor because you don't know how to get along with nobody. No. Listen. People's skills is something that you can learn. It ain't a gift. It's a learned behavior. Well, I ain't getting no amens, but that's all right. Quit falling out with family. Quit being so easily offended. You got to take up the shield and you got to fight everybody else's battle when they ain't even willing to fight. You got to correct injustices. Quit fighting injustices that ain't your injustices. Well, Pastor, what do I stand up for? When God tells you to. Not every battle is your battle. Glory to God. Understand that you've got to come to a place in your life that you expect the favor of God to go with you. Now, that's not arrogant. That's not presumptuous. I'm not talking about being conceited. But I just expect the favor of God to be on my life. Why? Because he said in Galatians 4:14 that I could. He said that the favor that was on Abraham is on me. There are people covering up. Somebody do something with the air. It's a little chilly. I know some of you are like, oh, I was just getting cooled down. Well, I'm cooling down, so it's all right. I'm finna be done. Understand this. That the favor of God comes on you and comes by you, and because of how you respond to God, if you always mad and always mean, how do you expect the favor of God to be on you? But you've got to get an expectation. I'm still amazed at the goodness of God, but I'm not surprised. Does that make sense? You can be amazed of the blessing of God and the favor of God, but you ain't got to be surprised. Like, whoo, I didn't think God could do that. No, I always knew that he could. I'm just amazed that he did it for me. Come on, somebody. That's what I'm talking about. Anybody getting anything? Let me give you point number four. Now, here I'm going to go somewhere where ain't nobody, a lot of preachers ain't going to go. And listen, please, don't write me off. If you think, well, he shouldn't have said that, then just go, he shouldn't have said that. There's a lot of times the Holy Spirit goes, he shouldn't have said that. Pray for me. That's right. Here's point number four. The people don't understand this. Bless the people that bless you. Bless the people that bless you. When God established his covenant with Abraham and placed a blessing on him, God said, I will bless the people who bless Abraham. When you see somebody that's walking in the blessing, already in their life, there's a tendency to think that I shouldn't bless them because they're already blessed. That's right. I'm trying to get you thinking right. Well, I want to bless somebody who's less fortunate. That is blessing them, but that's not always what God's called you to do. Because the Bible said when you give to the poor, you have your blessing. Understand, when you realize that someone is blessed by God, bless them. You know, when we were building this church, I found a couple of churches who were knocking it out of the park. And I sent them money. Well, wait a minute, Pastor, you were trying to build a church. That's right. And we sent them money because I wanted to bless the people that I already saw blessed. And what about smaller churches? We've built churches. We've built churches. We have sustained churches. We give to smaller churches all of the time. Our home missions budget, I don't know what it is, but it's pretty up there. And what it means that we, you know, I believe in missions abroad, but I also believe in missions here at home. Amen. I don't believe in, you ain't got to go across the ocean just to find somebody to have a missions project. Yeah, I thank God for that. We do that, but we also have missions project right here in our homeland. And matter of fact, some right here within a 50-mile radius. We help and bless these churches and help them do what they're doing. Why? Because God's called us to do that. But however, I cannot forget those people and those pastors, those churches who are doing a great job. I want the blessing of to come to me. Am I making sense? Listen, you cannot manipulate this thing. You can't do that. Oh, I'm going to do this. And here. You know, my youngest daughter, Lauren, when we were building this church, it was right after her birthday, and she came to church, and here's what she told me. She said, Daddy, if we don't build that church, some people are going to want their money back. I said, well, baby, we're doing the best we can. And so that day she had this wad in money in her Ziploc bag. And I said, "What you going?" I said, "Is that your birthday money?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "What are you going to do with it?" She said, "I'm going to give it to the Lord." Being a daddy, I went, "Well, baby, that's all your birthday money." And she looked at me with a surprise and said, "He'll bless me, won't he?" And I said, "Yes, he will." And I'm afraid he's going to have to use daddy to do it, but yes, sir. Now, I told that story in church that morning while she was in kids' church. And when we got in the car to go home, she said, "Daddy, look, I gave," and it was like 50-something dollars she gave. "Daddy, I gave all of my money to the Lord, and look what he did." And she got like $100 back. And she goes, "Wow." And she goes, "I know what I'm going to do. Tonight, I'm going to give this." I go, no, it don't work that way. But see, you understand, do you see the difference in heart? See, that's where most people get mixed up. It is a heart issue. It is a matter of the heart issue. "Well, I'm going to bless this so I can get that." No. No, that's called gambling. Yeah, I made that word up just now. Gambling. God said he would bless those who blessed his blessed people. All right, point number 5, and I'm done. Become a blessing. See, the end result of God placing his blessing on Abraham was, though, that he would be a blessing. God told Abraham, "And thou shalt be," or "you will be a blessing." When's the last time you was a blessing to somebody? You know, I had somebody, and they're not in here, so, you know, but there's somebody told me one time, they go, "Pastor, we've been blessed to have 4 cars given to us." I said, "That's awesome. How many cars have you given?" "Well, wait a minute. We can't give because we're poor." I go, "But at some point in time, you got to quit being and deciding to be this way." Right? "Pastor, ain't nobody decided." No. See, don't get mad. I'm just telling you, at some point in time, there are people that need your blessing. God blesses you so you can be a blessing. You know, I'm going to brag on my youngest daughter again. My youngest daughter, when she was taking her test to become a teacher, she was blessed by somebody who is blessed, which was me and my wife, and we paid for her test, which is like $150 a test every time she had to take a test. She failed it a few times. Trust me, I was praying, "Jesus, God." But you know what happened when she got a job before she left school? There was another girl in her class, and that was a friend of hers, that she couldn't pay for her own test, and her parents weren't at a place where you could pay for that test. But here's what she said. She said, "Lord, Dad, the Lord said you paid for my test, and now that I'm working, I'm to pay for her test." And this, isn't that incredible? Blessed to be a blessing. Now, this girl has failed about 6 or 7 times. I'm like, "Yeah, now you know what I feel, girl. Go ahead, go on. She'd be praying for her. But what I'm saying, I can't use that in 11 o'clock either, probably because it'll be on video. But anyway, what I'm saying is God, when he blesses you, doesn't have just you in mind. God didn't, he said, "I've called you to be a blessing." Now, God didn't call Abraham's nephew Lot out from among his people. But Lot went with Moses, or went with Abraham. Why? Because he seen he was blessed. He said, "Man, that's blessed right there. I'm going to go, hey, what you need me to do? What you need me to do? I just want to be around the blessing." My God, somebody hear me. I just want to be around the blessing. Because can I tell you, what you respect is what you attract. And too many of God's people respect drama. Abraham had the blessing of God on his life, and Lot prospered greatly by tagging along with his uncle. See, you got to recognize sometimes you're blessed because who you're hooked to. And sometimes you're cursed because of who you're hooked to. Pastor, that's why I'm trying to get rid of my spouse. No. That's not what I'm talking about. Sometimes you're hooked with the wrong partner in business. Because check this out. When they parted company, Lot's wealth diminished. You better know who has the blessing. See, I believe that Sherry has the blessing in our marriage. That's why I stay with her. She's the one blessed probably. And I'm just the recipient of it. When you realize your place in God, you will come to this understanding that you are a reward for somebody. You are the solution to somebody. My God. Jay and Tiffany, you were the solution for Jordan. Come on, come on. Who are you the solution for? I don't know, Pastor. Everybody's trying to make me their solution. And you're not everybody's solution, but you're somebody's solution. Does that make sense? You're not everybody's solution. Because see, some people just see the blessing on your life and wants to be a part of it. But God didn't call you to everybody. God didn't call you to everybody. But somebody needs you. Somebody wants you. You are necessary for somebody somewhere today. You are a reward and a prize to somebody. Man, think about that. I am a reward to somebody. I am a solution to somebody. I am a prize. Yes, I am. To somebody, not everybody, but to somebody. Moses was needed as a leader to the children of Israel. He was their reward. David was needed by the Israelites to defeat Goliath. He was a reward to King Saul as well. Naomi needed a caregiver and a caretaker, and Ruth was her reward. Boaz was the reward of Ruth for her faithfulness concerning her call. You see how it all works together? You are somebody. Your patience is a reward for somebody that others would not tolerate. Your words will motivate somebody incapable of seeing what you are or what you see. See, listen, I can think back. His wife's in the service today. 15 years ago, probably, when we were trying to buy property. And man, this guy that owned this last corner over here where our retention pond is, he owned that one, and then where this the parking lot is. He was just being a jerk. And if you're listening today, just know that you were a jerk, but I'm not going to call your name. And we needed that property. And I was like, my God, I ain't giving him that kind of money. Blah, 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 blah. And old Tom, a friend of mine, Tom said, Ronnie, what will it matter in 20 years? I go, there you go, making sense again. He said, do we need the property? Yes, we need the property. Can you not do what you want to do without it? Yes, that's the correct. And he knows that. Do we have the money? Yes, we do, but that's beside the point. It's principle. He's tripled the price, and it's just the principle. And Tom said, in 20 years, it ain't going to matter. And in 12 years, it hadn't mattered. We needed it. We did it. He was a reward to me. I couldn't see it. However, I did still say, I called the title company and said, heaven go in there and sign. I didn't want to see his face. Pastor, you're such a Christian, I know. Ain't I awesome? I'm such a great Christian. I know y'all don't ever think like that, but you know. Somebody is hungry and thirsty for your presence. Somebody will starve without you entering their life. I'm not talking about physically, but they will starve because they need you. Someone is literally dying emotionally and mentally and spiritually waiting for you to come along and help rescue them. Somebody has been lying awake at night praying, God, send somebody in my life. You might be that person. You are their reward. You are exactly what God ordered in their life. However, you are not everybody's answer. Man, that's something I had to come to grips with. With 700 people, I can't be 700 people's everyday answer. Are you hearing me? You're somebody's answer. You're not everybody's solution, but you're somebody. God has somebody else planned for them. And I know some of you are looking at people going, Lord, I hope you got somebody else planned for them because I'm about to kill them. But God might be wanting to use you. While the blessing leads to the blessings, you can't allow the enjoyment of God's favor on your life to take the place of your walking and fellowshipping with Him. The greatest blessing that God would like to place on you is His blood that washes away the stain of your past. But then afterwards, He wants you to be a blessing to somebody. You know, listen, I've said this before, and it may be a little comical, I don't know. But Sherry is a reward to me. That's not comical. That is the truth. But I'm a reward to her. And what's comical about it, because if any other man would be married to my wife, she would punk them out because she's strong. She's a strong woman. And an average man would be a punk. But I ain't no punk. But I'm still a blessing to my wife. Come on, somebody. She told me years ago because all I want to do is please her. And she told me years ago, she said, baby, you need to tell me no sometimes. And then a few years ago, she said, baby, you need to tell me yes sometimes. And it's that kind of swap around. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is, man, she is my reward. And I hope that I'm her reward. And I'm your reward as your pastor. And you're my reward as a parishioner. But I'm not your everyday reward. And you might not be my everyday reward. But we've got to recognize, we've got to rethink our place in God and realize that yes, I need, but there's also something that I have to give. I am a blessing. I am a solution. I can do some things. And Lord, I want your blessing on my life, not just so that I can have, but so that I can be. Come on, stand to your feet. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. I told you the greatest blessing He wants on you is the place His blood that washes away the stain of your past. I promise you, I'll give you my word, I won't embarrass you, but if you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, would you just lift up your hand and say, Pastor, I need Him into my life.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.